It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell.
I'm not worried about work. I'm worried about robots.
On 920 The Game.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Hey, let's go Las Vegas here on this Monday out at the LBC. It's time for the Mac Attack on 920 The Game. I am Ryan McKinnell. That is Mark Seidel. We got a show lined up for you. A lot of news around the football world. Kareem Hunt's got a home. Kyler Murray has chosen his career path. And we had the debut this weekend of the AAF, Mark, something that you were a part of, actually, out here locally.
Yeah, man, we went down, me and Chrissy from Cofield. We were down there. They had the big kickoff party
right
outside of TAP, right by the sports book, man. There was a lot of people down there. Had a fun time. It was like a family environment. Come down there and playing cornhole and throwing the football through the hole. And I was kicking people's ass in that game. You know how I got
reliving your glory days?
Rocket laser arm. So it was a good time, man. We talked to Jay Rood, the VP of sports and everything for MGM International. So it was a good time, man.
Cool. Yeah, no, I mean, the excitement was here on some level in the city. And if you didn't hear, the excitement was also across the country because the AAF did really well in terms of ratings. We're going to talk about that coming up here shortly. But the most important story of this weekend, Mark, it snowed.
It did. It was the craziest thing. I walked outside last night.
I just love how that leads our show here in Las Vegas. Like, listen, there are a lot of big stories this weekend.
But,
let's get to the thing that really matters.
Actual, real snowflakes.
You know that's what everyone's talking about today here in Vegas.
And it was like, when we happened to walk outside, it was like dumping.
Yeah.
It was like dumping snow. And I was like, oh, I just about to dump. I almost had to dump myself right there.
That would be great if the non-satellite guy would be the first guy to cuss on the air.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm looking around. I was like, holy crap, it is like, it is really, really coming down. Yeah. It didn't stick, but it's always cool to see snow. I love snow.
Now, you weren't here 10 years ago when it did the big dump, right?
Nope.
Okay.
I was not. I was the biggest snow. I think it was 2 years ago. It was about an inch and a half or so.
Dusting.
Yeah.
No,
it's one of those things where it's almost like North Carolina where it snows, but then like by the end of the day, it's just wet everywhere because it all melts.
Yeah, but at least people are somewhat used to it. Like, it's not the apocalypse. I feel like out here when snow hits, it's people pull over on the side of the road and like look up at the sky. They're like,
"What is going on?"
I saw a post from this girl who's obviously a Las Vegas local. She said that it was only the second time in her life that she's ever seen snow fall from the sky, and the other place was like in San Antonio or some other real random place, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the other was Vegas, and she was just out like going in circles, like looking up at the sky, like a dog seeing snow for the first time.
It's
just
cool.
Complete wonder. But for sure,
it is. It's just it's a cool thing. People who don't live here, don't realize that during the winter, you can always look up at Mount Charleston and see it's completely covered in snow.
You can drive up there if you want.
Yeah, and you can drive. And of course, a lot of people don't realize there's a ski resort 30 minutes away from Las Vegas. But it's always cool to see.
It is, unless you have tickets to see Metallica at the Forum and they close the Cajon Pass and you can't get over and you get stuck at Wild Bill's out there in Buffalo Bills. Yeah, that happened to me 10 years ago. The big storm where you saw the Lux. Yeah, I got stopped heading my way to California. Had like 7th row seats to see Metallica at the Forum and had to come home. I went to bed like at 6 o'clock that night.
Oh, my.
I was so mad. Mark, it's like the old parent thing. I wasn't even mad.
Disappointed.
I was just disappointed.
Yeah.
It was so terrible.
That is such a burner.
Hey, let's actually talk some sports here. Opening round time. Let's go.
Brought to you by VIP Collision.
Did I get you there on that one?
No.
Was that a little too quick for you?
No, it was there, but it just... It was.
Time flies when you're having fun. You were just so enveloped in the snow conversation.
Sometimes I want to punch myself.
We can hire... I feel like there's people in the station that would do it for you.
We can probably get Jared or something like that.
Yeah, get Jared in here. He's worked.
The little weakling or something like that. as he walks by,
as he softly brushes his hair to the side,
he's looking like Clark Kent right now or something. Yes, we're talking about you.
He knows
Jared.
We're talking about. The look on his face, man.
He knows.
Oh, poor Jared. Poor Jared. All right, so obviously a lot of stories to get to in the football world. The one I want to lead with is probably the most. I don't want to say shocking, but certainly probably the most newsworthy, and that is Kareem Hunt. He has landed officially in Cleveland. There's a few things to get to here. We got a statement from John Dorsey. Browns GM. We also have some details on the contract. I think one of the more interesting things here that we find out before we get to the details, is that since he was released by the Chiefs, Hunt has been doing alcohol and anger management counseling. He's going to continue to do so with this new deal. He's had meetings with the NFL investigators regarding three incidents that he's had, not necessarily just that one with the incident in the hallway where he kicked the lady. And a suspension is coming. But at the end of all that, as according to Ian Rappaport, he's going to play for the Browns. So what do you think, Mark? Do you like the fit? Do you like him being back in the NFL? And I got to think on the surface, if you're a Browns fan, you got to be pretty happy with this.
I think as a Browns fan, you're happy. But I can't sit here and say that I am happy.
Not happy. Are you upset? Do you feel any sort of way about this? Were you expecting this to happen?
Because
a lot of people were saying Chicago, and then there was the other people that were just saying, you know, we may never see him again. This may be a Ray Rice situation.
That's kind of where I'm at. I feel like, you know, abuse on a woman is abuse on a woman. Doesn't matter whether you push. Whether Ray Rice punch a woman in the face, I am so against that.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, I also have to look at, some things that people do outside of work, should that cost someone their job? Because there are a lot of jobs in this world that if someone is charged with domestic violence or something like that, is not necessarily going to cost them their job. And so I'm kind of torn between it.
Or it might cost them their job at that particular outpost or part of their life, right? Mm-hmm. But that they can continue their career same field else, presumably. There is that. I guess what it really comes down to, if you're a fan of the NFL or if you're a sports fan or if you're just a general commentator kind of looking from the outside in, is do you believe in second chances? And where is the line when a second chance should be drawn? I do think optics-wise, listen, two wrongs make a right. It's nothing like that. But I do think there has to be something said for just the sheer violence or lack thereof with the Kareem Hunt video and then juxtaposed to the Ray Rice
video. Oh, yeah, they're two completely different forms of violence.
Yeah, and I'd like to think that's the reason why Ray Rice isn't playing right now, that it was just so violent.
Justifiably so.
Right, 100%. I'd like to think that's the reason and not like the progression of reaction from the NFL. Like the NFL is, Ray Rice was like the first and it was the most violent, and so we're going to just blackball him for the rest of his career, maybe a little bit of an advanced age. I'd like to think that it was just that and it wasn't the NFL laying off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. Like, we know that Kareem Hunt is going to face a suspension here. And he's going to have to serve that suspension before he plays again.
Yep.
I guess it really just comes down to the organization. Organizations could have signed Ray Rice. They chose not to.
Definitely. Ray Rice was a little bit older than Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
I'm sure that if Ray Rice was, 26 years old and still, putting up 1,400 yard seasons.
Yeah.
I'd hate to say it, but I do think that there could have been the opportunity for him to, possibly play again.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised. I'll say this as a Bears fan. I'm glad it wasn't the Bears. And only for this reason. Not that Kareem Hunt shouldn't have a second chance or not that he's a good player. I just didn't think Chicago really needed him. Now, Cleveland. Presuming that Kareem Hunt was not just a product of the offensive masterminds, Matt Nagy, obviously, prior and now, years before. Obviously, he's young, he's spry, he's all those things. If he can play up to 80, 85% of what he did before, you're talking about a Baker Mayfield-led Browns team that looked really, really good at the end of the season and just missed out on the playoffs. This is a huge addition to an already growing team.
And you've got he's a good pass catcher out of the backfield, so it gives – not only Baker Mayfield the opportunity to have a strong running game, but Baker Mayfield himself another target, to grow with. So for the Browns, and if I'm a Browns fan, I have to think that they're excited about it. I would like to know how many Browns fans were completely you know, bashing Ray Rice when this happened, and were so happy that he would never play again, because, you know, the Browns and Ravens, you know, tend to not like each other.
Oh, you don't say.
But, yeah, I wonder how many of those same fans are now sitting back making excuses for Kareem Hunt to get a second chance.
What I'm interested in seeing, and that is a great point you bring up, is what is this going to do to Nick Chubb, who is, I mean, had a really decent season last year, had some great highlight reel runs, and it definitely looks like his best days are ahead of him.
I think Nick Chubb is the running back of the future for the Browns, but you can't, you know, in this day and age, I don't think you can ever have too many offensive weapons, and if you can, you know, bring in, you know, Mayfield played in a system at Oklahoma where it was, you know, a spread offense. You know, that, you know, if you can bring in
the more weapons, the better.
You know, if you can bring in an offense where you have Nick Chubb on one side and Hunt on the other side,
maybe going out to the flat,
exactly, or, in a backfield. You know, it opens up the offense for a lot of different options for the Browns. So, do I think it's a good pickup for the Browns from a football sense? Yes, but. They're obviously going to have to face backlash, you know, in terms of the character of Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, I wonder how many people will just kind of, like, because it is Cleveland, and people just give it the, oh, it's Cleveland thing. You know, if I feel like if this was Pittsburgh, if this was Philly.
Yeah.
Philly. You know, I just feel like it would have gotten more attention. Oh, now that it's Cleveland, it's like, well, they need the help. It is the Browns.
Yeah.
I just feel like there is a little bit of that narrative being played out.
Yes.
You brought it up. Whenever he does get on the field, he's going to add to that backfield. The Nick Chubb, I believe Duke Johnson's still there. They have some really good running backs in Cleveland. But we don't know when we're going to see Kareem Hunt, because obviously he still has to serve his fine, or his suspension, excuse me. But here's the details of this contract for this Cleveland deal, okay? It's a one-year deal that could worth more than $1 million. This is also factoring in the suspension, so it's more than the minimum that you would make, which is, I think, surprising to some people. He's getting a little bit of a boost in terms of the minimum, and he's, after the season, he will be a restricted free agent.
Yeah,
so it's like you said, this is probably a rental to see if you can get a nice injection of life in your team and see what you know you can do with Baker,
and to see how the NFL is going to react.
That's a great point.
You know, whether it be, you know, do they come out and say you're suspended for a year? Out and say you're suspended for 8 games or 4 games or whatever they do? You know, and it doesn't necessarily, it obviously doesn't cost the Browns a lot of money.
Yeah, it's super low risk.
It's a low risk, high reward type signing. But you just have to, I mean, they're obviously willing to weather the backlash that will inevitably come.
Yeah, John Dorsey, Browns GM, had this statement, quote, "We fully understand and respect the complexity of questions and issues in signing a player with Kareem's history and do not condone his actions." Okay.
That's something you have to say, though.
Yep. I'm sure they'll say more as the season, especially obviously the season gets underway and we find out when we can expect Kareem Hunt back, if we can expect Kareem
You also
Hunt
have to, you know, this is something that I looked at as an Astros fan when the Astros traded for Osuna from the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
There were a lot of vocal Astros players that before they signed Osuna had talked about domestic violence and how they were against it. And when you bring someone into a clubhouse or to a locker room, you have to wonder what kind, you know, the players in that locker room who feel the way I feel about it. I wouldn't want to work with someone who I knew was a known, abuser of women. That's just me.
That's a great point you bring up, the chemistry. And we'll see how this all plays out. We got a long season ahead of us, and Cleveland is expected to do decent things, maybe even be a playoff contender. And Kareem Hunt's presence will bring some attention. What type of attention? We'll find out. Kyler Murray. Speaking of attention, this is a guy that has drawn a lot of attention from two different leagues, obviously Major League Baseball and the NFL. News today, he is choosing the NFL. He released a statement on Twitter. It's a nice picture, nice little graphic with some quotes next to him. I'm going to read them to you. Quote, "Moving forward, I am firmly and fully committing my life and time to becoming an NFL quarterback. Football has been my love and passion my entire life. I was raised to play QB, and I very much look forward to dedicating 100% of myself to being the best QB possible and winning NFL championships." goes on to explain that he's started an extensive training program and he looks forward to the draft and all that. What do you think? You're a baseball guy. The money, if you get to that point in baseball, is guaranteed. It is large. It is a great pathway if you're an athlete. But the flip side is you just won the Heisman Trophy and you're going to be sitting pretty in a draft short on quarterbacks.
You literally just took the words out of my mouth. There is... if you make it to the major league level in baseball and you become, you know, the player that a lot of people expect you to become, you will make a lot more money being a star baseball player than you will being a star football player.
Right.
Now, endorsements, that's a different story. You can, and football, as a known football player, you can, there is the ability to make a lot more money in endorsements.
Mm-hmm. Whereas you look at a Mike Trout.
Yes.
Who knows.
Who is the best baseball player in the world, and he could probably walk down the streets right now of Las Vegas, and one out of 10 people might think, was that Mike Trout? Maybe.
Yeah, you know? I think you hit it in the nail on the head. They'll think, was that Mike Trout?
They won't know for sure.
Think they'll go up to him.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He kind of looks like Mike Trout.
Trout looks like every, like, Midwestern corn-fed.
Yeah. And there's, it's proven. It's harder to make it, you know, to the major leagues than it is, you know, if you're drafted in the first round as a quarterback, you're pretty much guaranteed to, you know, get 6, 7, 8 years of at least trying, you know,
if 3, 4, and 5 are backup roles,
going to get, you know, you're pretty much, unless you come in and you completely blow your knee out and you'll never play again, you're pretty much guaranteed to get that second contract. Now, whether it's going to be a big, you know, $20 million a year contract or not, no, but I think if you are, if you're looking at something and you're going to be mediocre mm-hmm. at baseball or you're going to be mediocre at football is the way to go in terms of setting yourself up and setting your family up.
Because you get it on the
financially.
Front end. You get it on the front end.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting just from the standpoint of, I don't think this generation of fans has a lot of experience with two-star athletes.
Uh-huh.
We do. We talked about Deion last week or 2 weeks ago when he had his 30 for 30. We saw Bo. Not that he's going to – he's not doing that. I'm just saying he's getting a lot of attention at being really good at two sports.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen a lot these days because usually they have it figured out before they get to those final couple years of college.
Yep.
So it is really interesting. Another interesting point here, Murray didn't mention the A's in this statement. He didn't mention the team that has the rights to him. So little details on that. He's going to have to return the $1.29 million of the $1.5 signing bonus money the A's gave him last year. And he also forfeits the remaining $3.16 million due on March 1st.
And see, he will get more than that being drafted in the first round.
100%.
So he's already, you know, like I said, set himself up to make more money if he's, you know, if he doesn't turn into the baseball star that commands a $25 million a year contract.
And the A's have the rights to him. Listen, I'm sure they're not super stoked that he's going to go out there and put his livelihood and health on the line. But I've got to think that if he fizzles out in 4 or 5 years, he's going to try another run at baseball.
Of course he will.
Why would he not?
Yeah.
It's not like you're, at that point, risking anything. Yeah. You've already – risk is already there.
Yeah.
The risk is already there. Okay, so transition as we talk about risk. NFL season obviously just got done. The XFL debuts in 2020, right? This whole thing now seems like – people are posturing or trying to figure out what to do with the offseason. Well, the AAF came out this weekend. They've been building, obviously, for a couple years. This weekend was the big debut. You said it yourself, you and Chrissy from ESPN, Cofield and Company. You guys were down at TAP at MGM Grand. First of all, it looked like a great event. I'm talking about the event at TAP. But when I look, I only caught like a quarter and a half when I was shooting pool.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like...
Yeah,
you know, casually watching. But the first thing I said and the first thing that I noticed, Mark, is this looks legit. Now, the broadcast, the presentation, all that looked legit. It all looks great. But just the product on the field? First of all, the first thing I saw was a clip on Twitter of some, I think the dude from San Antonio, the quarterback, absolutely getting blasted.
Getting his head knocked off.
Yes, literally. Like, it looks like his head got knocked off. So I was like, oh, that's right. The AAF is on tonight.
And there was no flag on the play.
Really? There was no flag on that.
No flag.
That's kind of concerning. You like it. You're beaming from ear to ear.
I do. I think that, you know, it's football. You know, it's there's going to be big hits. I mean, that's part of football. That's what I grew up on. The highlight tapes of you know, seeing people, you know, the slot receiver going across the middle and just getting blown up. And, you know, everybody that goes, that steps out on a football field knows the risk that they are taking and knows what they are, you know, stepping into. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think, I'm not a fan of seeing a flag for somebody getting the crap knocked out of them.
Because that's the point of the game.
Yes, it is. Now, it's one thing if he would have come in and submarined right at his knees, you know, to take his knees out or something like that. Yeah, you know, I can understand those. But a big hit's a big hit. A big hit is a big hit. That's what football is about. That's what we grew up on. And it's the sport itself has just been drastically changed. But I do understand why it has been changed because of, you know, CTE and concussions and things like that. But, you know, if you're a football fan, you've probably always been a fan of seeing big hits. When you see that big hit, what's the first thing you do is you rewind it like, oh my God, I got to see that again.
I wonder if a different generation saw that and saw something different. Like, we're a little bit older. You're right.
Yeah.
Like, well, even if we weren't, okay, well, I mean, we grew up during Lawrence Taylor, Mike Singletary, and all that. But even before that, we were only like, what, 10 years a generation removed from Lambert.
Yeah.
Butkus,
yeah.
Tatum.
Yep.
So we kind of knew, well, this is just the NFL. Now, over the last 20 years, there definitely has been a change of the game.
Definitely.
I wonder if that will actually bring in more audience members, because I saw it, right? I saw that hit, and I was like, oh my God, the AAF's on tonight. That's right. Let me check it out. That's literally when I turned over to check it out, from that viral video.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of resonated with me. I wonder if it resonated with other people. We know this. It certainly resonated with the larger group, the larger audience. This is huge to me. I was shocked by this. The AAF's debut. Now, the first game was a blowout, right?
Yep.
Okay, but the overnight ratings of the AAF was a 2.1, which outdid the NBA matchup between the league's last two MVPs, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Thunder versus Rockets. That did a 2.0. The AAF did a 2.1.
No.
Mark, that is... This isn't like a B-level football league beating out baseball or beating out hockey. This is the junior to the NFL beating out James Harden, who is having, I don't need to explain to you, you're a Rockets fan, and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
The AAF's got to be ecstatic with this, right?
Oh, of course. But
over the moon.
We also need to pump the brakes a little bit because the XFL, when they first came out, their first weekends, their ratings were through the absolute roof. They were through the roof. And then the next week, they went down.
So we'll keep an
eye
on
it. And the next week, they went down again.
Yeah.
And then the next week, they went down again. So it's something to keep an eye on. Let's not jump out and say, oh, my, like, you know. But it is big that the fact, you know, and that NBA game was a good game.
Was it?
Thunder came back from a big deficit to beat the Rockets. So that's not as if it was a... That wasn't a blowout game, the NBA. It was a very good game, but it does mean something that the AAF pulled in the ratings like that. But it is something to keep an eye on to see how they do next week and the week after that
Yeah, we're gonna get to the Knights game. Obviously, the Knights squared off with Columbus on Saturday. I'll hit you with the nightcap here in a few minutes, but I just want to round out this conversation on the AAF. You were there. You took in a lot more than I did. You were there, a part of the event. What did you think of the entire, you know, the entire product that the AAF offered on Saturday?
I thought it was a good product. I thought people were excited. People were in the sports books. They were betting.
I thought the speed on the field looked good, too. Like, well, it looked like you were watching professional football.
It was, and that's one of the big things that the AAF is about. They want to, and I know you're specifically talking about the speed of the players and stuff like that, there's a shorter play clock.
Mm.
Their goal was to have these games 2.5 hours at the longest.
Smart.
To get in, get out, and keep people in tune. The halftime break is shorter than...
No kickoffs, right?
No kickoffs.
Right.
The commercial breaks, they only take very small, like, one-minute commercial breaks, like I think one per quarter, and then they have a longer one at the end of the quarter.
Okay.
So the action is always... It's not, you know, touchdown, commercial break, kickoff, commercial break, you know, four plays and punt, commercial break. That's not how the AAF's doing it. They are keeping the action going, keep it boom, 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 and then they'll get the commercials in during halftimes and things like that.
Interesting. All right, when we come back, the aforementioned Vegas Golden Knights squared off with the Columbus Blue Jackets on Saturday night. Not the best game. Not the best game. Certainly not the best ending. We're going to dissect that coming up here next on the Mac Attack and the Nightcap. Keep it locked.
Back behind the net for Pavelski. Centering try. Oh, a glove! Big save! Foley saves the game!
It's time for the Nightcap on the Mac Attack.
Rims it around, not out. Miller shoots. Tipped home! Carlson!
Well, been better games. It's not how you want to, you know, have the one game of the weekend end up. It was losing effort for your Vegas Golden Knights on Saturday, dropping a late game to the Columbus Blue Jackets. At one point, Cody Eakin had the team up 3-2, and then in the final 4 minutes, Mark, Columbus decided to just kick Vegas in the teeth and put in two late goals, and
the final 4 minutes happened.
Yep.
You know, that's it's tough when you come out of that game feeling that you should have won that game. Those are the worst games, yes. You know, to that's the tough pill to swallow.
It's great. Like, it's great. It's actually great to get blown out sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you can turn it back to it and be like, hey, you know what? Put that one aside. Took the L. It was an abysmal performance. Nobody was on. But you're right. When you're in a game, you're leading a game, you're clearly the better team.
Yeah.
And then a couple things happen at the end where a couple mistakes are made. Colin Miller made some defensive lapses. Point is, doesn't follow on one person, but you make a great point. Losing those close games that you know you should have won, those are the ones that stick with you, man.
I feel like Colin Miller in defensive mistake. I feel like I've heard that.
No, get out of town.
A couple times, man.
Hey, that's the rub on him. One of the fastest skaters in the NHL. One of the hardest shots in the NHL. Fast skater, hard shot. Not exactly always conducive to solid defense, and that's the price you pay with Colin Miller occasionally. Yeah. You just like to think that, hey, down the line, we're going to see less and less.
Yeah, that's the hope.
Yeah, and there's also the case where it's like, hey, that's the same read on Shea Theodore, too. It's like, hey, you know, fast skater, hard, great shot. Mm-hmm. Not the best defensively at times and can make mistakes. And so,
and when we're playing in the NHL, those mistakes, it's like the NFL, you know, like a cornerback who, you know, all it takes is one misstep, and you give up the 80-yard touchdown bomb. It's the same thing in hockey. You make the wrong pivot, you make the wrong move, and you know somebody flies by you, and you give up a goal. It's just like that.
And that porous defense obviously doesn't help. Excuse me, with the attitude, with the passion, whatever you want to call it, with Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't know if you saw him after that game. He was livid.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, man. This is a guy who is leading the NHL in shutouts, leading in wins, and it's because he's playing so often, right? He's being, and I get it. You know, Subban's been injured, and Max Legacy, you can't count on him. Not that you can particularly count on Subban a whole lot these days either, but you got to wonder. First of all, it just wasn't the late goal, right?
Yeah.
Against Columbus those final 4 minutes. He did the same thing against Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it happened in a couple games prior. He let in a couple late goals. My point is, as it gets later into these games, later into the season, you're starting to see a little bit of some defensive breakdowns on the part of Marc-Andre Fleury. And at 33, whatever his advanced age, you've got to start wondering, okay,
is it
finally catching up?
Yes,
now?
is the amount of time he is on the ice finally taking a toll on him? And that's the question.
Yeah.
Every single person who has been who talks about this Golden Knights team has been asking is when, because it's not a question of if, it is a question of when it's going to happen.
And that was my whole thing, is that you don't want to find that answer out come May or June.
Yeah, in the first round of the playoffs or something like that.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's a thin line when you have a great goalie, but you need to get that goalie some rest somehow, but you don't have a legitimate viable option. It's almost, and I hate to say this, but it's almost as if you're conceding a defeat when you put someone other than Marc-Andre Fleury in between the pipes out there for the Golden Knights.
Well, that's something you can't really afford to do.
No.
Specifically with this team, and I don't want to say this team's lucky to be where they're at. That's not fair, because you look at what they did last year, and clearly this is a talented team. But when you look at how bad this offense has been from I point to the one line. They're playing a little bit better now. They're getting some action. Maybe they're coming out of their funk a little bit. But I just give you an example. Like I was looking at the Blackhawks. Obviously, that's the team that I grew up cheering for, a team that I still very much keep an eye on. They won their sixth game in a row, and they're still at the bottom of the Western Conference. Yeah. You know, they're making a little bit of a run, but you look at the point totals they're putting up, at least on the offensive end. Their problems are on the defensive end. That's why they're not where they probably would want to be. But you look at the scoring output. I know Vegas doesn't have a Patrick Kane, but you see 35 goals. Our point leader is Alex Tuck at 40 points.
Yeah.
Kane has five less goals than total points. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just, I understand it's a team effort, but at some point, offense has got to start running for Vegas. Or they're just, listen, Vegas, you don't want to hear this, but it's the truth. They're not going to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
You need offense. And yeah. Fleury and Nate and these these guys can only take you so far. So you want to see some consistency there. One little thing, side note that I saw from Saturday as we sit here talking about offense and something that the Golden Knights might want to think about or in terms of bolstering up their offense, right? We know the trade deadline is coming down. There's a lot of questions. Are they going to add to the blue line? Are they going to add to the offensive end? They talk of Wayne Simmons in Philly. Well, Artemi Panarin, the Russian, the bread man, was here on Saturday. And there was a video from up in the stands during shoot-around. And Panarin was by the glass flipping pucks over to Vegas Golden Knights fans. And, you know, a couple people speculated, is this Panarin trying to warm himself up to the Vegas crowd? Because, listen, Panarin's gone, presumably, from Columbus after this year, and he is going to be a highly sought-after piece for anybody. Maybe he goes back to Chicago, or maybe, as a lot of people are speculating, he's Russian, he likes the nightlife, you know, he's young.
Yeah.
Is Vegas an opportunity? And let me just tell you, for those that don't know Artemi Panarin, or you got a view on it, Saturday was a big reason why him and Cam Atkinson were big reasons why they even came back in those final 4 minutes. But he's an offensive firepower.
Uh-huh.
And it would be interesting, like, if Vegas could put something together. We got a lot of Russians on this team to begin with. You got Zikov, Valentin Zikov. They got the rights to Gusev, the guy over the KHL who's lighting it up. So there is this idea that maybe Artemi Panarin could land in Vegas, and I was salivating at that prospect. Well, I'd be a fan.
Well, it makes sense because you just got done talking about the fact that the Golden Knights don't have that huge that player when he goes out on the ice. You know, it's that you not expect, but is always a threat to put to score a goal.
That's
what they're lacking.
Yeah, there's no Wild Bill Carlson, and that's not a knock on Wild Bill, right? Like, he had a great season last year. I remember the between the leg goals against Martin Jones and the last game against San Jose. My point is, he's a dynamic player, a highlight reel waiting to happen. The problem is, and this is not news to anybody, is consistency. That's a problem. Artemi Panarin does not have that problem.
No.
He is head and shoulders above the majority of players in the NHL. He is a special player. He just doesn't want to be in Columbus. And I can't blame him.
Who wants to be?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure maybe some people like a slower speed of life with maybe some attention off of them. They like to do their business under the radar, and they play better at that way.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Panarin cares, and if we're being honest, I think he likes the attention. I think he liked that's what he liked about Chicago, where all eyes were on him and that Blackhawks team. You know, he's like I said, he's young and he's Russian. You got to think having the potential line mates there, it's going to be really interesting to see what the Knights do or don't do heading into this trade deadline. Because as we remember last year, Tomas Tatar and what Vegas gave up to get him. And that's the real killer for me. Like, I was always high on Tatar. I liked him in Detroit. I liked the things that he offered, speed. I thought he was going to fit well into this team. When you think about what they gave up to get him, his two first-round picks, and it was a hefty, hefty, hefty haul to pull in Tomas Tatar. I can't help but think, what would it take to get Panarin? Something similar, which is the real bummer.
Well, I think it's going to be more.
It will be. But I'm saying similar. Maybe an extra pick or, like, a different player, but yeah.
Would you be... I don't know if disappointed is the right word, but how would you feel if he does get moved somewhere else and the Golden Knights aren't in the discussion to try to pick him up?
Well, I don't know what his contract. I don't think he has a say where he ends up going.
Yeah.
So if he gets traded somewhere to be a playoff piece this year, and if it's not like I don't know what his intentions are. I think he wants to go to a major market, a metropolitan center. I think he likes the nightlife. I think he's young. I think he wants to, how much that plays into Vegas's possibility of landing him, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I like no matter what happens with this trade deadline and Artemi Panarin, I like Vegas's chances in the offseason.
Yeah.
I don't care where he lands. I don't care if it's Pittsburgh. I don't care if he even goes back to Chicago.
Gotcha.
I think you see what he was doing at the game on Saturday. I've never seen. I've been to every game last year, opposing players don't interact with the fans.
Yeah.
They run into the glass and like try to scare them.
Yeah.
But he's giving souvenirs to people. He's playing the baby face, to borrow a pro wrestling term, right? Yeah. He's playing the good guy. So, I think what you're asking is, let's say Panarin doesn't land in Vegas over the next few years.
Uh-huh.
Would I be disappointed? Yeah, I would be, strictly because I know what he's capable of, but it would be another in a line of Erik Karlsson, John Tavares, Artemi Panarin. Then you would have three guys that you thought you had a chance at, and you didn't land. Yeah, it wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be good. So you heard me talk about Valentin Zhikov just a minute ago, the Russian. He's been a part of the team now for a couple weeks and has been making some plays, and he just had his first goal a couple games ago. He seems to be getting more playing time over the now seemingly ice cold Brandon Peary. Not really sure what's going on with Peary.
Well, that's kind of been the knock on him. He's been around, you know, to multiple teams, and it's never been an issue of whether he can put the puck into the net, but it was an issue of being consistently putting the puck into the net. And we saw, I mean, we were spoiled, I think, at first with the numbers he was putting up. That was going to be unsustainable. But I don't think people thought that the drop off was going to be as drastic as it was.
Yeah, well, we might get another look at Peary tomorrow. Zhikov might sit. We'll get some more clarification on that tomorrow as we see Morning Skate. But this is from Adam Hill of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. This is an update from Morning Skate today. It said Brandon Peary was a healthy scratch in one game, but, quote, wasn't feeling well against Columbus per Gerard Gallant. Looks like he may return to the lineup tomorrow versus VGK. It's just going to be interesting because he passed that 10-game mark. So he's not in the position to be sent back down again. Yep. He would have to clear a waiver. So I don't know. He's a great story, but you're right. Consistency since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
There's a track record here, 9 years.
Yeah.
Is the problem with Brandon Peary. And you got young Russians coming up like Zhikov. If Gusev agrees to come over to North America, comes over to the NHL next year, that would be a huge get. If you guys don't know about Nikita Gusev, look him up and look at what he's doing in the KHL. He's got a few games left, but he is rising up the ranks in terms of single season point output. He's near like the top five. I want to be very clear about the KHL.
Yeah.
Not scrubs.
No.
Like top level hockey players.
Very, very good hockey league.
A lot of good players that could easily play in the NHL, but there's a lot of reasons why that doesn't happen.
Uh-huh.
But Gusev is a highly sought after prospect. Obviously, Zhikov is here in Vegas. You know, I mentioned Panarin. Wouldn't be the worst thing getting some Russian love over here because Russians know how to score.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen with Peary. I feel for him. I like the story. We all like his story. You just got to show a little bit more consistency. The thing is I think Vegas wants to be loyal to him.
Yeah.
Just give us a goal every three games or four games. Don't totally drop off a cliff.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's the issue with him. Also, small update on Nick Holden as we were sitting here talking about Colin Miller's defensive lapses. No more clarity on Nick Holden. Update again from Adam Hill. Nick Holden started skating a few days ago, so that's good. It's according to Gerard Gallant, but there's still no timetable on his return, and you know how it is with hockey.
Yep.
It's
very vague.
It is very vague. One last thing before we get into our full Grammy recap, Mark Seidel coming up on the other side of this. Those jackets. Did you see the jackets that May and Gizmondi were wearing on the pregame?
Unfortunately, I didn't.
Okay. It was, we'll have Nick on either later this week or next week, and we will talk to him about it. It was peacocking of the highest order.
Is he going to have to defend himself?
I don't know. I like VGK as much as the next guy. Enjoy the games and everything, but it was very flamboyant. It was very in your face.
Extravagant.
Yes, I need to know where it was made, how it was made, how much it cost. Ric Flair was a Golden Knights fan. It had some elements of that.
The who, what, where, and why.
Yeah, I need all that.
Yeah.
I need all that, Gizmondi, if you're listening. I wanna what the hell was going on Saturday night. All right, so the Vegas Golden Knights return to the ice tomorrow against the Phoenix Coyotes. We'll have a full breakdown of that on tomorrow's show. But when we come back, it's time for Mark Seidel and I's full Grammy recap. Oh, I know you can't wait. Here on the Mac Attack.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan McKinnell on 920 The Game.
All right, so it is time. The weekend had lots of sports stories. We talked about them. If you mentioned or missed any part of our discussions on Kareem Hunt or Kyler Murray or the AAF or the Vegas Golden Knights and Columbus Blue Jackets, you will be able to find that up after the show on the podcast on lvsportsnetwork.com. Just click on the 920 The Game tab, go to the Mac Attack. It will be there. Also, an update on the podcast. If you've been, you know, catching us intermittently or looking to find the show afterwards, we're working on getting that up on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, and all that good stuff. So you'll be able to find it on there in a couple weeks. I will let you know. Keep a lookout on Twitter. I will post up there at Ryan McKinnell to let everybody know when that is up and ready to go. So, Mark, obviously big weekend for sports, but big weekend for music and entertainment as well. Where are you at on award shows and stuff? We've never really had this conversation.
I'm not as big on it as I used to be.
Okay.
10 years ago, maybe, you know, even up to five, you know, I used to watch them a lot. Now I feel as if it's...
passed you by.
Well, no, I think it's watered down. I think people... I almost am of the belief that you can pay for an award. Mm-hmm. That you can sway voters not based on your talent, not based on the music you put out.
I don't think there's any question with that. I think the music business has always been a little shady in terms of payola and ways to get popular and to sustain popularity, right?
Yeah.
I see the Backstreet Boys were up for an award. Apparently they have a new song. And that was my first inclination. It's like, someone's looking to... Yeah. You know, get some money. So, like, hey, we're still relevant. And we say, hey, listen, I'm not saying they're not. Clearly they're relevant. They had the Super Bowl ad and all that. I'm just, it is interesting to see the motion, the things at play.
Yeah. And, they, you know, they have a residency out here.
Yes.
So.
Yes, they do. Did you watch anything last night?
I did not watch it live. I did watch a couple.
You caught the clips after.
Yeah, I caught some clips.
So what viral clips did you catch?
I saw Drake. I saw Drake's acceptance speech. They obviously cut him off,
Drake was into a whole thing about how
he was basically getting to the point to tell you that these awards don't mean anything.
Don't let this validate your existence.
Don't let the Grammy Award be the thing you're chasing.
Yeah,
you know, obviously, you know, for some people, yeah, it is some sort of validation that you're doing something right. But in the same breath. It's not the end-all, be-all. There are plenty of great musicians out there who don't have a Grammy on their shelf at home.
Yeah, or maybe they do and they just don't care. Case in point, Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover, he won for Record of the Year last night, a song that I know you and I both love, or more importantly, a video that you and I both love. I actually think I showed you that video.
I think I did.
That was months ago, but This Is America won for Record of the Year. A thing that I liked is that neither Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover, nor Kendrick Lamar chose to perform last night. Now, Kendrick, a couple years ago, had a really famous performance that was incredible. Just all you need to do is Grammys, Kendrick, and you'll find the performance. It was top five, top three, top two. It might be my favorite Grammys performance of all time. But this year, both him, Kendrick, and Childish Gambino chose not to perform to protest the lack of diversity in the RIAA or the recording, the Arts of America. The people who make the decisions at the Grammys and who wins the Grammys, they said, hey, listen, there's not enough diversity. There's not enough color there. We're not going to perform until you acquiesce to some of our requests and/or demands, which I love.
They have a point.
Absolutely they do.
Yes.
100%. So I like that from that aspect. And also the Grammys had a cool moment. It opened up with, I think for a lot of people, they were surprised, Michelle Obama with some luminaries of the music world, J-Lo, Alicia Keys, Gaga was there, and then like a random pairing of Jada Pinkett Smith. It's like, okay. Also, speaking of Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's wife. I don't know exactly why she was up there, but during the Grammys, we got a commercial, and it was the commercial of the first live action Aladdin movie, and we got our first glimpse of Will Smith as the CGI genie. Yeah, I can see your face. So you saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Well, it's tough to go from Robin Williams in animation in our childhood to Will Smith as a CGI genie.
I just don't understand why we have to do...
Reboots?
Yeah.
Because people lack imagination.
Not necessarily
reboot.
I mean...
It's a reboot.
It is reboot, but it's just the... Aladdin is a movie that is meant to be animated.
Yep.
To me.
I don't need live action Aladdin.
No.
Hell no.
And it's... there are some movies that are meant to stay Disney movies and meant to stay animated and things like that. And, you know, I think we are crossing the line a bit.
You're a habitual line stepper, Disney.
Yes. Yes. You are. You're stepping over the line. And I think we need to pump the brakes.
No, I want to hear what your gauge will be when we get a first glimpse of that Lion King movie, because that thing was badass.
That looked good.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm legitimately excited for that.
That looked good. I'm not going to sit here in front, but you know, it's still animated.
You're playing with fire too. Yeah, there's still a risk there.
It's you know, Will Smith is Will Smith. And he's a live action genie. Like the Lion King is still all going to be animated, but it's just very high level animation with the CGI and stuff like that. So don't get it twisted. I will definitely be seeing the Lion King.
We might go see that together. We might make a little Mac Attack road trip.
There we go. I'm down.
I think we'll have a lot of people on that track. I think that movie is going to do stupid business when it does. I mean, because to get me excited as an adult about like a kid's movie, I have no kids.
Yeah, and neither do I. Yeah. But just to see the reaction of when that first trailer came out, I mean, everybody went nuts. So yeah,
I was
going to smash records.
I was actually doing something in the kitchen during the first airing of that commercial, that Lion King commercial, and I caught it like halfway through. I was like, is that James Earl Jones? I was like, is that the Lion King? And I looked up and saw, I was like, oh my God, rewind. I literally remember exactly what I was doing. Yeah. All right, so a little more notes from the Grammys. Greta Van Fleet, the Led Zeppelin sound-alikes, they won out over Ghost, which kind of hurt my feelings. I'm a big Ghost fan. Joey Villa, a largely known Republican, wore a Build the Wall dress. Ballsy.
Yeah.
Ballsy going into Hollywood. Huh? Rocking that there.
You got to give respect where respect is due.
Yeah, don't agree with her, but, tip of the cap to the balls factor. Yeah, like, hey.
Definitely.
I respect anyone who doesn't care what people think about him. So, Joy, hey, all the more power to you. I mentioned that we saw Will Smith as the genie. Cardi B had a great night, not only with a performance, but Offset might have had a better night. He looks like he's back in there.
I'll never understand.
It's true love, Mark. It's true love.
No. True love or not, I'll never understand how people get cheated on and take somebody back. I will never, for the life of me, I'll never understand how that happens.
No, I think it's just bonding experiences. Life's of the rich and famous. Well, something we'll never understand, Mark. We will never be rich nor famous.
I don't care if you're rich or famous or not. Like, I don't care if you're poor living in the trailer down by the river. I'll never understand how somebody takes somebody back after they cheat.
Last note on that, from moving on from Offset and Cardi, they did the In Memoriam at the end of the Grammys last night, and rock fans, metal fans are absolutely in upheaval, which seems to happen with metal fans after every Grammys, because the Grammys absolutely dumps the bed when it comes to metal. They didn't mention Pantera drummer and Las Vegas local Vinnie Paul.
Huge gross. Mistake.
Gross.
Yes.
Like, it was legitimately gross.
It was.
That will stick with metal fans like Jethro Tull winning over Metallica. Do better, Grammys. We'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday here on the Mac Attack. See you then.